Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library. Approximately one baby in every 5,000 is born with haemophilia A, and one in 30,000 births have haemophilia B. In a new Cochrane review in April 2014, Abba Athale and colleagues from McMaster University in Canada examined the effects of immune tolerance induction, and she tells us what they found in this podcast.
The haemophilias are X-linked inherited bleeding disorders that are caused by the partial or complete absence of clotting factor 8 in haemophilia A or clotting factor 9 in haemophilia B, and are characterized by abnormal bleeding. For instance, people with mild or moderate haemophilia can have excessive bleeding following trauma, while those with severe haemophilia experience frequent spontaneous bleeding into joints and muscles. While there is no cure for haemophilia, symptoms can be managed by replacing the missing clotting factor using clotting factor replacement therapy. However, some patients develop reactive antibodies called inhibitors that block the factor activity. This is a significant challenge to haemophilia treatment because the inhibitor makes the infused clotting factor ineffective. Immune tolerance induction, or ITI, the subject of our review, is one of the ways to eradicate the inhibitors. It works by training the body to become used to the administered clotting factor, but there is uncertainty about how effective and safe ITI is. We tried to resolve this uncertainty in this Cochrane review by looking for randomized trials and other studies that had compared ITI protocols with other factor concentrate-based regimens or ways to overcome inhibitors in people with congenital haemophilia A or B. Unfortunately, there's relatively little research to help provide the evidence. We found just one randomized trial which had recruited 115 male patients with severe haemophilia A to high-dose or low-dose ITI. There was no significant difference in inhibitor eradication between the high and the low-dose groups, but there were significantly more bleeding events in patients allocated to the low-dose group. In thinking about what this means for practice, our findings must be interpreted with caution. The single included trial showed no difference between two active regimens, without providing any support to understand the effect of ITI on the natural history of inhibitors. Given that there is only one included study, we cannot be sure whether this lack of statistical significance is simply due to the study being too small to detect a difference. Until further evidence becomes available, the use of ITI and choice of regimen should be considered on an individual basis, influenced by patient preferences and values or resource availability. Further research is needed to define the role of other strategies, such as the use of immunomodulatory agents or immunosuppressant drugs as add-ons to ITI. Research is also needed to define the efficacy and safety of ITI in different patient populations, including high-risk patients, and this should include an exploration of study designs that may be more feasible than randomized trials in the field of haemophilia. We would also like to see prospective data that uses standardized outcome definitions and measures regarding quality of life and cost-effectiveness of ITI to help people make more informed decisions about treatments for haemophilia.
If you'd like to learn more about this rare condition and the available evidence, go to thecochranelibrary.com and search for immune tolerance induction in haemophilia.